On today's episode of The Good Word with Goodwill, Ja Morant returns in spectacular fashion, and he keeps receipts. And it's time to start talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. All that and more on today's episode of The Good Word.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. We are part of the Ball Don't Lie Network. Get us wherever you get your podcast. This is the Wednesday episode, so there's no guest. It is just me and producer John. I am in New Orleans, where I partook in some oysters for the first time in my life. And of course, I am here for the disappointing bowl. The two guys that we thought were going to be the faces of the NBA from the moment that they were drafted, 1 and 2. More germane, Ja Morant's first game after a 25-game suspension. You couldn't have written it any better if you were Ja's people. A 24-point comeback, buzzer beater on the road, 34-8-6. And of course, all the struts. All the sass, you know what I mean? Like, he was all over the place last night. He was very entertaining. He had fresh legs. And yes, you could see T. Morant, courtside, Devontae Pack, courtside, doing what they do. Just being there, just present. Ja Morant letting everybody know, I'm going to be me, whatever that actually means. Now, there's going to be some people who say, Ja Morant should be elevated back to the top of the marquee. There's going to be some people that says, you know, the NBA should throw him away and, you know, lock him away, throw away the key. It's neither. It's neither at this point. I think what you saw last night, John, I think you saw a few things. I think you saw, A, how important he is to the Memphis Grizzlies. He slides Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. into more normal spots. And secondly, yes, one man can have such a profound effect on a team because he's electric, he's spellbinding, he makes teams uncomfortable. Like, what did you see last night?
I saw a team, and like, I haven't watched a lot of the Grizzlies this year because they've just been sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a team that was desperate for a veteran leader who wanted to grab control of the team, right? Because we talk a lot about Ja Morant hasn't been there, 25-game suspension, but we always seem to forget that Steven Adams, gone. Brandon Clark, gone. Dylan Brooks,
yep.
Gone. These yep. are all important veteran leaders that in the heat of a battle, tight game, end of a game, are more than happy to grab the reins, or do you say, hey guys, get on my back, I got you. And they've been playing without any of them. And I think it showed just how desperately they wanted it, they needed it. And I think Ja, we kind of forgot that Ja's ability to drive into the lane screws up a lot of defenses. And that's really what I think happened to the Pelicans.
Yeah, look, you had Herb Jones guarding him. Herb Jones is one of the best perimeter defenders, all around defenders in the league. And also remember, they're without Marcus Smart, who they traded, you know, as basically their Dylan Brooks replacement as their defender, their attitude, like that thing. I thought it was really telling how those guys rallied around Ja. Like we talked about a little bit last week with Amin El-Hassan on Monday, how point guard is a position where your teammates have to play for you. It's not necessarily quite like a quarterback in football because the quarterback is de facto management, but it's the closest thing to it. If you have a star point guard, the players have to play for you. Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr., as happy as those guys might have been to take all the extra shots and get the extra responsibility, you know what they like more? They like winning more. So when it comes to the huddle and there's 9 seconds left and Ja Morant is saying, hey, are we going to get the ball to Jaren Jackson Jr.? Are we going to get the ball to you, Desmond Bane? Desmond Bane says, hey, that's what you're here for, dude. Go win the game. That part is impressive. Do I think that some of the guys, and this is just from 30,000 feet, can some of the guys be exhausted with the extra attention and so much of the focus being on Ja? Absolutely. It has to be exhausting. It has to be exhausting, right? But that doesn't mean that they don't support their guy. It doesn't mean that we've all sort of come into this together. You know, those guys, it's not much of a separation between those guys being drafted. They literally took the mantle from the Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, grit and grind Grizzlies. It wasn't that long ago where we thought of them as being real challengers to the throne and also like anti-heroes because they don't fit the traditional mold. And Ja Morant does not fit the traditional mold of a superstar. He didn't come up through the AAU system. We barely knew anything about him. Went to a mid-major, and he's had so much thrown at him, both basketball-wise and life-wise, in such a small period of time. Just think a few days ago, he was taking the witness stand at a trial where he's being sued. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that all this stuff is very overwhelming. And that's not to grant him grace. If you read what I wrote on Yahoo Sports about him, you know, last night, this morning, if you haven't, go check it out. It wasn't a whole lot of grace given there. But you just take all of those things into account. The NBA will forever keep moving. Like, there's only one irreplaceable player in today's game, and his name is LeBron James. Okay? One. As we've seen, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, all those other guys ready to take the mantle, ready to take on everything that the NBA has to offer. And if Ja Morant wants to continue playing with guns or have his people point laser beams inside other teams' buses in loading docks or punching kids in the face in his backyard, or threatening kids, or threatening mall workers. I don't know why you had a Finish Line or a Foot Locker at the mall when you can get anything overnighted from Nike. Okay, cool, fine, whatever. But you want to keep doing that? Fine. The NBA will move on. But I think, and redemption is far too strong of a word, John. I think it's far too strong of a word. This isn't redemption for Ja Morant. He is no victim here. He just has a chance to change the narrative about him a little bit because there aren't necessarily high expectations. The league has gone 25 games without him. They had an in-season tournament. He's ineligible for postseason awards. He won't even make the All-Star team because he will not have played enough games. So there will be so many marquee league events that will not have Ja Morant in it, and the league won't miss him. That's not to say people won't wish he was there. That's not to say, man, wouldn't you love to have the electricity from Ja Morant? You would. But John, this train is, nothing stops the money train. This thing is going to keep moving.
Yeah. And look, some of the guys on his team probably do like the attention that Ja gets because it keeps attention off of them. But here's the thing. Not every superstar is built the same. Not every human being is built the same.
Right.
And some people, their brain, their personality, just who they are, is going to react differently to getting this amount of attention. Like, Derrick Rose is on that team. I don't know if you had a chance to talk with him. I think he was out yesterday.
I missed him. I tried to go in the locker room, and he had already pulled the Houdini act. He got out of there.
Yeah, and I feel like D. Rose is the type of guy that we all look back on and we're like, great basketball player, just wasn't built for that amount of attention. And right now, Ja is at the point where we're going to decide if that's how we talk about him too. Are we going to talk about him like, great basketball player, could not handle all of the attention that gets thrown at him? Because with every team, there's always going to be a lot more attention given to the superstar player, right? The guy who carries us there. And some of the guys like that. Some of the guys can deal with that. And some of the guys can't. And Ja is lucky enough that the NBA, that sports, if you're good enough at them, will give you a second chance to answer that question.
The thing that got me, John, was in his postgame presser, and he talked about what he had been through. And he said something to the effect of, you know, the good thing about mistakes is you get second chances. That's not always the case. You know what I mean, John? That's not always the case. You don't always get a second chance. And you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So when people first remember seeing Ja come onto the scene, yes, there was a youthfulness and a brashness about him, but it was also somewhat of an innocence, or at least there was the perception of an innocence. He didn't come into the NBA hardened already. You know what I mean? He wasn't Allen Iverson. Like, and that's the comparison that so many people will make because, you know, of style and, you know, sort of the youthful troubles that AI got into. But people knew AI had a tough road from the moment he got to the league. They knew AI when he got to Georgetown. Everybody knew about the brawl in maybe it's 1993. And getting clemency from Douglas Wilder, the Virginia governor, and going to Georgetown and playing for John Thompson. Like, there was a straight line that you saw, and then Allen Iverson became the first pick of the NBA draft. John Morant kind of came out of nowhere. So it's not this thought of this guy is the rebel. No, this guy wasn't a rebel. He was a delightful story. And then as we meet people in his life. His dad is courtside. His boys are courtside. A lot. And not every family is going to be the Currys. You know what I mean? Not every family is going to be, you know, Dell and Sonya while they were together. You know what I mean? Not every family is going to be this cookie cutter, cute story. Everybody comes with something. Everybody got that cousin. Trust me. Everybody has that cousin. Most of the time, you keep those people away from the cameras because you don't want anybody digging into the background. But Ja has made the decision. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be whatever this version of authenticity is for him. That is what he's going to show. And think about how quickly the league moves on. Last night I was in New Orleans. You know what name did not appear in my piece that I wrote on Ja Morant last night? Zion Williamson. Next big thing, just turn into big thing, right? I don't say that to be flippant or to be funny, but when Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal come at you the way that they came at you, again, that says something. That says a lot. And the NBA can quickly move on and quickly pivot because they have these old stars who hang around, right? They have the stars who hang around as long as they want. LeBron James is 55 years old, still playing. Stephen Curry might be 50 years old, still balling. They will lean on the standbys. And if the young players don't get it together, hey, Cooper Flagg. Hey, Victor Wembanyama. Hey, Chet Holmgren.
Here's the thing about young players, though. Like, you were talking about Iverson, and we always knew him, but, like, we always set up the next step for that player. We're always watching. And when Josh showed up, I mean, first year, rookie year, we're like, oh, my goodness. This guy's get all the highlights, because that's all we need, rookie year, right? And then he gets all the highlights, and we're like, okay, can you win? And then that Memphis builds a team around him. They draft Desmond Bane. They trade for Steven Adams. And we see them win in the regular season. We're like, okay, can you handle when the pressure gets turned up in the playoffs? Can you handle when the pressure and the attention gets turned up on your superstar? And they kind of fell apart, right? And so, yeah, the Grizzlies and Ja, they'll get another chance to prove themselves on that stage. But honestly, and I'm not going to make any sort of a big man jokes. The thing that's worrying me about Zion is right now we're like, okay, you can do the highlights. You can be a very efficient player in a regular season game. But can you do it on a national game, a game everyone's watching? Can you do it in an in-season tournament game that feels like a play? Like, it seems like when the pressure gets turned up, Zion's numbers and his effectiveness goes down. And, like, if he can't make that next step, we're never going to trust him to to be in that realm of superstars, even in today's league, much less like league history. Because look, James Harden gets talked about all the time. If he can't come through in the clutch, he can't come through in the clutch. And even he has done it more than Zion has. So the thing that's more concerning to me about Zion is not necessarily his health, his weight, his diet. Well, all the rumors coming out, New Orleans talking to him and he's not listening. It's the simple matter of when the pressure gets turned up, he seems to be a less good basketball player.
Well, to be fair, he was a game time decision last night.
Yep.
He was. So you give him a little bit of grace, but I barely remember him being out there. He had one explosive play and he's at the stage of his career. He's at 23, 24, where explosion should be it. That should be the name of the game. Dunking on everybody, embarrassing people all the time. And now it looks like he's sauntering up the court. And I want, like sad isn't the word, like we talked about a little bit with Amin on Monday, so we don't have to necessarily get into it too deep here, but you don't know if your franchise can trust you. And from the league standpoint, they don't have to market you. And there's a lot that could have been riding on Zion Williamson. Jordan Brand, the NBA, the Duke pedigree, all of that. Like, it was perfectly set up for him in a different way than it was set up for Ja Morant, because Ja went to a smaller college, and believe it or not, colleges still do matter. Like, drawing that straight line between where you go to school, even if it's just for a year, and letting people get to know you, that does a lot. That does a lot. But just in general, back to Ja. Incredible game last night. All he has to do is be incredible at basketball, y'all. That's it. I don't want him to worry about trying to be a Bible-toting citizen. He don't have to lead Bible study. He don't have to do Sunday school. Just stay out of trouble. Just stay out of trouble. And you wonder, especially, not just because he's Ja, you never know if someone has truly learned their lesson or if there's more levels to hit, if there's a rock bottom to hit, you don't know. And one game, as spellbinding as it was, and that scene in Memphis tomorrow night, Thursday night, is going to be raucous. They love that man. They do. But it's one game, and Memphis is still third from the bottom in the Western Conference. They have plenty of work to do. Ja Morant misses games. People forget. Ja Morant also misses games for reasons besides suspension. You know what I mean? Like, he misses games for injuries, too. They can't afford for him to miss any more time. He's too important to them on the floor. Now they're behind the eight ball. Will they get a burst, a rush? Absolutely. He's got fresh legs. He couldn't wait to get out of there. He couldn't wait to get out there last night. And once he got his wind and everything else, it was, once again, y'all, spellbinding, electrifying, all of those things. And that team is built for him to be great. They need him to be great. What you got, John?
This is a personal thing for me, because he's not the first one to do it. And as a matter of fact, this is becoming a regular thing. But someone coming back, especially from suspension, we've seen it with Draymond. Now we've seen it with Ja. I'm sure there's been other people. The "I keep receipts" thing.
Oh, yes.
He yelled it as he's going down the tunnel into the locker room. This is a boogeyman that players try and use to scare people in the media, because he's not saying, "Vinny Goodwill, I read what you wrote.
Right.
I listened on your podcast." He's saying, "Hey, everybody, I'm everywhere, and I'm keeping notes on the things that you are saying about..." No, he's not. No, he's not. He's not doing any of that. And maybe his boys are doing it for him, but I kind of doubt that too. But that's meant to tell the media, "Hey, be careful what you say about me.
Right.
Be careful that..." It's just a boogeyman, and I'm tired of it, man.
No, he pays attention to what's said. I'm sure he watches television. I'm sure he may not know what I'm saying, but he knows what some people are saying. I firmly believe this is, think about it. He's on Instagram all the time. He lets you know he's on Instagram all the time. He might be paying attention to bots, but he's paying attention.
It just feels like that statement, and I know, end of the game, he's celebrating, he's having a good time. Mm-hmm. It just feels, again, like, man, focus in the wrong place.
Of course.
He's not caring. Like, I'm sure he's caring, but, like, just celebrate the win. Be excited to be playing basketball. Hey, that's me. Like, what would Jimmy Butler be saying? And that's actually, Jimmy Butler might also be saying,
Look, man.
But Jimmy Butler loves
to be the asshole, okay? Don't you worry about that one.
Right. But, like, just be happy you hit the shot. I'm back, right? Like, I'm back, which I think he yelled after he hit the game winner.
He said that in something else after that. A word that I'm not allowed to say on these airwaves, okay?
Well, and that's why I'm not saying it on the airwaves.
There you go.
But like, to take that moment and turn it into, hey, everyone, I'm going to get revenge on you because I know all the things you, like, it doesn't have to be that way. So this is a personal gripe of mine.
Well, hell, he had the guns. Who is going to get revenge on, his boys? I'm going to get revenge on you for turning on IG Live. That's your fault, fool. Like, I don't get, you know, who you going to get, like, for people holding you accountable. That's what you're going to get revenge on. Okay, cool. Whatever. John, you have gotten me annoyed. I keep receipts. I laughed. I did ask him about it after the game. He said it was self-explanatory. I gave him the runway. Ooh. I gave him the runway. But John, let's talk about a good basketball team. Can we do that? Can we talk about a good basketball team right now? Let's talk about a good basketball team. The team that has the longest winning streak in the NBA. A team whose stars have played in almost every game. A team that we only pay attention to when it's an all-out mess. Ladies and gentlemen, the Los Angeles Clippers. 16-10. Top 10 in defensive efficiency. Top 10 in offensive efficiency, fifth best net rating in the NBA. They've won, what, 8 in a row? I think not at the Celtics lost last night. They have the longest winning streak, or they had the longest winning streak. The Celtics, I think, won 5 in a row. But 8 in a row, 9 out of 10. Kawhi has played every game, y'all. Kawhi Leonard has played every game this season. Small sample size. And because we're talking about it, he might mess around and miss tonight. But he's played every game. Paul George has only missed one game. They're playing the loads of minutes. James Harden, everybody has talked about how great the Philadelphia 76ers look with James Harden gone. Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, all the good vibes, right? Quietly, James Harden is playing excellent basketball in a much more difficult, shall we say, situation to get himself acclimated to. He's gotten himself acclimated to playing with Kawhi and Paul George. Russell Westbrook has gone to the bench and hasn't publicly been crowing about it. Like, that is a win in itself. Ty Lue, y'all have heard me say this before. I'll say it again. One of three best coaches in basketball, period. The list starts with him and Eric Spoelstra, and everybody else gets behind them. I don't know who number three would be. The list starts there. James Harden, in this month, 33 minutes a night, 20 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 51 from the field, 48 from three, y'all. 48 from three. Like, this is efficiency. He looks in shape. He looks engaged. It's time to give them a little bit of credit. It is, I won't say beyond time, but it's time, right? And the biggest thing for the Clippers, because I've been a member of, if the Clippers can put it together, Hive. That's where I was. That's where I've been. If the Clippers can put it together. John, you don't remember this, but the playoff series that I wanted to cover more than anything else last year was Clippers Suns. That's why I went for the first two games out west. I didn't go to Golden State Sacramento. I didn't go to LA Memphis. I went to Clippers Suns because I thought that was the series. I was like, one of these two teams could mess around and get to the finals. and Kawhi Leonard put together a game one that made that just brought me back. What did Al Pacino say in Godfather 3? Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. I was back in, John. I was back in. Ask me if I'm back in yet.
Are you back in yet? I think you should be. Are you back in yet?
I'm jilted.
Wait, can I tell you why I think you should be?
Okay, go ahead. Tell me why I should be.
Because I've been interested in this team since you sent out a thread the other day. Compliments to you for finding time in your life to add another social media platform saying, are we ready to talk about the Clippers? So I've been watching them. And I love the Clippers-Suns comparison because it's perfect. Because the Suns right now, they have their big three, right? But no one can get healthy. Even when Beal's back, Durant's out, Booker's missed some games. Like, they're having a hard time just keeping it together. And the offense is good, but still clunky. It just works because those three guys are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the Clippers pre-James Harden. But I'm watching the Clippers now, and I'm like, I see what's going on here. The James Harden, I'm not a system player. I am the system. Ty Lue and the Clippers are agreeing with him. You are our offense. You are the system for the first three-ish quarters of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the fourth quarter, when things really need to be at their peak and we need to lean on our stars.
You know whose hands the ball is going in.
Exactly. But like, if you look, like, here's Kawhi's usage percentage since he got to the Clippers year by year. 33, 28, 27, 25. This year. It's just going down and down. Paul George, since getting to the Clippers, 29, 30, 33, 29. This year, 26. So those guys are spending less time with the ball in their hands. They're spending less time with defenders all over them. And I think that's, you called this, man. You were like, the James Harden trade to the Clippers will work if James Harden can simply take some of those high leverage minutes off the bodies of Kawhi and PG and keep them healthy enough that they're ready come playoff time. And right now, that is exactly what it seems like is happening. James Harden is not the guy they need to win the championship for them or even win the fourth quarter for them. He's the guy who needs to keep them in the fight until the fourth quarter so that Kawhi and PG can stay fresh.
Then turn it over. Then you turn it over. You say, here. You hand it to the lead singers. You know, our song just has a cool, like, you know, everybody, every singing group got a dude that can kind of sing. And then you turn over to the dude who really can sing. You know what I mean? Then you turn over to David Ruffin. Then you turn over to, you know, Raphael Sadiq and Tony. Then you turn over to Casey Haley. Take us home. Take us to church. That's what it is. And here's the thing about those three guys playing together. A, the Clippers are one of the top three best three-point shooting teams in the league. Whoever your third option is, and in this case, it's actually the main ball handler in James Harden, which is a weird thing, the third option being technically the point guard who dominates the ball. Your third guy has to be a good three-point shooter because the looks are not going to be there as a third option. He's shooting 44 from three. Kawhi's shooting 44 from three. PG, who might be a better shooter than both of them, shooting 39 from three. They're playing efficient basketball. So, John, if you ask me if I'm back in, I'm not back in yet. Because you know why? It's December. You're going to take me for no fool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good reason. I see all these people talking about, oh, defensive player of the year is already locked up. It's Rudy Gobert. It's December. We have so many more months of basketball to get to. But the theory the Clippers had when they traded for James Harden seems to be correct. The answer is it correct enough? Or the question is it correct enough that it will be true at the end of the season as true as it is now in December?
Well, they've got questions because I have questions about size, but they play almost with one big on the floor. Excuse me, only one big on the floor, and they run the smalls out. They run out Terrence Mann. They run out Norm Powell. You wonder if they're going to get beaten up and bludgeoned by the likes of Denver, like by the likes of the the Lakers because the Lakers can play so big. And because PJ Tucker is, you know, basically said, I'm out here doing aerobics. You know what I mean? And Russell Westbrook, you know, isn't getting the minutes that, of course, that I'm sure that he would like already on a vet minimum deal. You know what I mean? Like, you wonder with how active they could be in the trade market, especially with the payroll being assessed, especially y'all. Like, the whole thing about PG and Kawhi playing every game or playing damn near every game, there was no extension handed to those guys before the start of the season. They're on expiring deals. They know they have to play this year. They know this is, I won't say now or never. It's been now or never for the, it's always now or never for the Clippers. They move into that new building next year. Steve Ballmer wants to have players on the marquee. We all know James Harden is playing for his money. He has told everybody as such. He has come out and said, it must be the money every damn time. And I don't blame him for saying it. I applaud him for his honesty. Okay? And if you look at the Western Conference, default, I will say Denver Nuggets, because I'm not betting against that big dude, right? I'm not betting against him. But do you trust Minnesota? Is Oklahoma City ready for prime time? Do you believe in the Sacramento Kings as presently constructed? The Phoenix Suns can't get it together. The Lakers have been not good since the in-season tournament. The Pelicans, we just saw them last night. The Grizzlies, we have no clue if they'll get their stuff together. The way that the landscape looks, it could almost be an NCAA tournament sort of thing. Well, depending on the matchups, will determine the conference final, will determine who gets there. Golden State, last gasp, right? They had a great comeback against Boston last night. On a given night, they can give it to you. On a given night, they can hit those high notes. I don't know if they can do that for months at a time, playoff series at a time. The Clippers look to be more consistent, believe it or not, than most teams in the Western Conference right now. They just had such a slow start that they're only 16-10, but they're trending up. Cool. Trending up. And they got some, they've got a little bit of trade flexibility. A little bit. And you're wondering if they're going to try to shore up that front court. But as for right now, with those three guys, it looks good. But, you know, I've been jilted before, John.
Mm-mm. Can I make you laugh real quick?
Of course.
I mean, this makes me laugh. I don't know if this will make you laugh. The PJ Tucker, like, not even really getting minutes anymore. And when he does, there's not a lot to do. Like, we all saw him go to LA with Harden and we were like, oh, man, PJ Tucker, that's a good player. And that's a good defender that the Clippers can throw at a wing, maybe even a big, because that's what PJ Tucker does. That's what he did for the Sixers. That's what he did for the Bucks. That's what he did for the Heat. And he got there and it really seems like he walked in like, yeah, I'll cover whoever their best player is. And someone was like, buddy, we got Kawhi. And behind Kawhi, we got PG. We're good. Like, we don't need those services, which means that he might be able to be of value to someone else in the trade. But it's just funny to me that PJ Tucker ended up on the team with like the fully realized, much better version of PJ Tucker, like twice. And everyone's like, man, it's weird that PJ Tucker's just not getting run with it. No, it's not. It's not weird at all. Like, they just don't need him at all.
Well, here's in theory, you don't want Kawhi at this stage in this age of his career to sit down in that chair and to have to defend hardly anybody does that. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Like, when we say two-way players, maybe only Jimmy, I don't say only Jimmy Butler, but there's not a lot of guys who can carry an offense and also take the matchup and play 40 minutes defensively. Like, that's just a lot on the body. Like, that's one reason why I give Anthony Davis a lot more grace than other people do, because it is hard, man, to be an anchor of a defense or to take that matchup with all the switching and all the usage and all the three, you know, everything else, and still be an offensive juggernaut. That's a lot.
Yeah,
it is. It's a lot. But the Clippers are interesting. I'm just not. Talk to me in April That's all I'm going to say. Talk to me in April. I will say this. The two teams that we had big time questions about starting the season, the Milwaukee Bucks, have we seen their work? They're starting to figure it out. And so are the Clippers. So things are getting mighty, mighty interesting, my friends. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is today's show. My name is Vincent Goodwill. That's all we have for you today. Thanks to producer John, of course, working behind the scenes and on the mic. Jake and Dan will be back for another episode of No Cap Room tomorrow. I will be back at some point next week for another episode of The Good Word. I'm not sure when. I'll be in LA on Christmas to cover Lakers Celtics. I'm doing that just for y'all. So we'll see how that turns out. Merry Christmas. If you guys celebrate, happy holidays, all that good stuff. Everybody, please be safe.